Good days, bad days. We all have a mix of them, don't we? Sometimes you can simply look at someone and tell they're having a really rough day. And sometimes you can simply look at someone and know everything is going great. It's a fantastic day. Things are really going well. And sometimes it's hard to tell if someone is having a good day or a bad day. If you are only looking at one snapshot moment of his or her life, you might be totally wrong about whether it's a good day or a bad day. As we read our passage this morning, which is Psalm 9, I ask you to consider whether David, the author, was having a good day or a bad day. We're on Psalm 9 today because we're going through the Psalms here at First Church, and this is the next Psalm. For our scripture reading, I'm going to read only the first two verses. If you're able, please stand for the reading. We stand in honor of God, recognizing that this is His holy word to us. I'll begin with the title and then the first two verses, Psalm 9. To the choir master, according to the Mathlaban, a psalm of David. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will recount all of your wonderful deeds. I will be glad and exult in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. Let's bow together. Father God Almighty, we thank you for this psalm written by David. And we pray, Father, that you would give us insight and wisdom into what David is declaring in this psalm. Help us to learn from him. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. Well, was David having a good day or a bad day? Most of the words in verses 1 and 2 sound like a good day, don't they? He talks about giving thanks to the Lord with his whole heart. He speaks of God's wonderful deeds. He speaks of being glad and exulting in God and singing praises. All of those words sound terrific. But what about the word will? Why does David say, I will give thanks, I will recount, I will be glad, I will sing praise? Is he responding to a past event, a current event, or what he hopes will be a future event? What does the word will mean about his current situation? Was David having a good day or a bad day? From just this snapshot of David's life, these two verses, one might conclude he was having a really great day. It certainly doesn't sound like he was having a bad day, but it's hard to know from just the snapshot of these verses. But now let's read a later verse in the psalm, verse 13. In verse 13, David writes, be gracious to me, O Lord. See my affliction from those who hate me, O you who lift me up from the gates of death. Here David speaks of affliction he was going through. There were people who hated him, who were causing him misery, which makes it clear that he wasn't having a great day. A well-regarded commentary on the Psalms says this about David's statement in verse 13. The intensity of the suffering is comparable to death. David feels as though hell, the gates of death, is here. David was dealing with evil people, with wickedness, people who hated him. The powers of hell were working against him, and David was feeling it. He was suffering. His affliction was not minor. he was feeling like he was dying. When you read verse 13, you can't help but wonder what was going on in David's life. Where was he? Who were the people who were hating him? What were they doing to him? And the answer to such questions is no one can be sure. And I'll explain why. If you've been coming here for the whole series on the Psalms, you know that this isn't the first time for us to find David having a bad day. Within only 9 Psalms, we have seen David have several bad days. David was often dealing with evil people who hated him. And he often wrote about it. Writing is an activity that probably helped David a lot. So it's impossible to know which day this was in David's life. And I encourage you to let that sink in. Let it sink in that David had plenty of bad days. And yet, we know from many other passages that David was immensely blessed by God. So when you're having a bad day, don't automatically conclude that God is against you. Bad days don't necessarily mean God is punishing you. David was loved by God, and God was with David. But David had some bad days. When he wrote this psalm, he was being severely afflicted. Now, with the question of good day or bad day answered, let's ask this question. Why then does David begin his psalm the way he does? David was feeling like he was at the gates of death, of hell. So why does he talk at the beginning of the psalm about giving thanks, singing praise? The answer is in the form of the verb David uses in the first 2 verses. In the original Hebrew, the I will statements are in what is called the cohortative mood, a mood used to express self-encouragement and intent. So what David is voicing in the first 2 verses is the resolve to give thanks and praise. He was looking in the mirror and he was preaching to himself. He was telling himself what he needed to do. We can paraphrase David's opening statements like this. Even though I feel like I'm at the very gates of hell, even though I'm hated by evil people and afflicted, I will give thanks. I will sing praise to God. David was not going to give up hope in God. David was not going to become angry at God. David was not going to become despondent and turn away from God. David was not going to become bitter. David was adamant that he was going to give thanks and sing praise to God. He exhorted himself to do so with his whole heart. He exhorted himself to lift up his voice in song. He was intent on doing so. That's what the first 4 statements of this psalm mean. I will give thanks. I will recount your deeds. I will be glad in you. I will sing praise to your name. And I encourage all of us to learn from David. When we are feeling hopeless, when we are feeling miserable, afraid because of trials, when we don't feel like praising God, when we don't feel like coming to church and lifting up our voices and praise with others, we need to look in the mirror and exhort ourselves to do so anyway. Sometimes praise flows easily from our lips because good things are happening. And sometimes our hearts don't feel like singing praise. Either way, we should still give thanks to God and sing his praises. And if that means exhorting ourselves to do so, that is what we should do. Am I saying that we should give fake praise? You might be asking. Should we be hypocrites? And the answer to that question is certainly no. We should not be hypocrites. We should not give fake praise. But we should, as we see David do, exhort ourselves to give wholehearted, sincere praise, even though we might be in anguish. We shouldn't just give up and stop praising God. But giving praise when you are severely afflicted is hard, isn't it? How do you move yourself to sincerely give thanks and sing wholehearted praise when you are in the midst of a serious trial? How do you do that? That's the next question I'm going to raise. How do you give sincere praise in the midst of a trial? And I raise that question because we learn from David some important answers to that question. This is a helpful psalm. We learn from David. First of all, in verses 3 through 10, we learn that we are to reflect on what God has done in the past. David does that often in the Psalms. This is not the first time we have seen him do it. It's not the last time. He does it often in the Psalms. He clearly does it here. He reflects on what God has done in the past. Look at verses 3 through 6 with me. David says, "When my enemies turn back, they stumble and perish before your presence. For you have maintained my just cause. You have sat on the throne giving righteous judgment. You have rebuked the nations. You have made the wicked perish. You have blotted out their name forever and ever. The enemy came to an end in everlasting ruins. Their cities you rooted out. The very memory of them has perished." In these verses, David is thinking back to all of the times God protected him. And he's probably thinking about how God has protected others before him as well. Protected him and others before him from enemies. Bringing the enemies of God's people to ruin. David was a warrior who saw a lot of victory in battles. He fought against Goliath and saw Goliath defeated. He fought large armies and saw those armies flee. Others, soldiers, gladly followed David into battle. People used to sing praises regarding David because of the many victories he had over his enemies. And David knew that it was God's gracious, powerful arm that brought about those victories. David knew it was God who defeated wicked cities and even caused their memory to perish. David reflected on the ways and times God gave past deliverance. And doing so allowed David to give thanks and praise as he faced more evildoers. David could give thanks and praise for what God had done. And David could give thanks and praise trusting in what God would do. David knew evil would not win. David intentionally brought to his mind such truth. David begins this psalm saying, I will give thanks, I will sing praise, and then he purposefully, intentionally reflects on what God has powerfully done in the past and on who God is. David did not give fake praise. David knew how to give real praise even when afflicted. And David was intent on doing so. And again, we should learn from David. When we are feeling afflicted by wickedness, we should move ourselves to give genuine thanks and praise to God by reflecting on what God has done and who God is. And dear friends, this is one of the reasons that God has given us His holy word. In the Bible, history is recorded for us so we can know what God has done in the past, so we can know who God is, know what He does for His people. We have history showing what God has done for His people. We know what God did to Pharaoh in Egypt. We know how God led Joshua and the people into the promised land. We know how God rescued people during the days of the judges, during Gideon and Samson and other judges. We know what God did to Goliath. We know of many battles that were fought by God. And most importantly, we know what God has done through Christ Jesus our Lord. We know the grave is empty. We know death has been defeated. And we know God is building his church even though Satan is trying to stop us. And we know God uses fishermen and others to build his church. The apostles of Jesus, those first apostles, were afraid and weak when Jesus was crucified. And even after he rose from the dead, they were afraid and weak. They were afraid and weak until the ascension, which we'll soon be celebrating together. But after the ascension, they went on to change the world. In Acts chapter 17, we even hear pagans admit that truth. It's a great verse in Acts chapter 17. Pagans say concerning Paul and Christians, these men who have turned the world upside down have come here also. Have come here also. The building of the church started with a room of apostles.